one-hour automotive talk show. And now, here are your Motormouths, Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
All righty, we're down here in Party Central trying to figure out what to do here at Motormouth Radio. Feels good to be here in the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, back from the brink, he's here, the man is here, Ray Guarino, behind the shop bench where he belongs.
How are you, my brother?
Good, back from the brink. Now give me a drink. I see all these bar girls walking around. The waitresses are here. Everybody's having a good time. Bring me some libations. I got to wash down the medication.
You need it, I'm telling you.
I got to wash down the pain med or something, don't I?
We all need it, too, because we were on pins and needles waiting for you to get your hair waxed or your big black ears removed or your eyeballs swapped. Like, well, that's what you told me, wasn't it?
Did it work? Did it work to your liking? You happy with the new transformation?
You look great.
Good.
You got color in your face. You're a nice shade of crimson.
Not yellow.
A lot better than yellow. Yes.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to celebrate this grand event with the best bits of 2012, 2013.
Yeah. Why'd you bring me here today? What are we doing? This is kind of odd.
Well, we're standing here amongst a whole bunch of people, hanging around. They're all waiting patiently to hear what were the highlights on Motormouth Radio from last Mother's Day and to now.
Yeah, it's kind of like a who's who, best of the last year. And of course, in true Motormouth style, we don't count the years from January to December.
Of course not.
We go from April to May.
And the reason why was because we could never find a guest on Mother's Day.
Which is really a stupid reason.
Right, we could never find a guest. Nobody wanted to come in on Mother's Day. So what we used to do was run an old show.
Yeah.
And then that transcended into running an old show to actually doing a best of show on Mother's Day. And that we used to record as well. And that turned into, because my co-host decided, hey, why don't we do the best of show live?
Hmm.
And here we are.
Yep.
So we're not taking any calls. And we are basically going to be playing the best bits of 2012 and 2013 for you here on this Mother's Day 2013.
I can't wait to see what you have in store this year, Chris. I never know.
Yeah, neither do I sometimes, because I'm usually delirious when I'm putting this together. But let's introduce the extravaganza with someone who is a great supporter of Motormouth Radio. Here he is, one who broke away from all the flood-ravaged motorcycles in his shop back in November, remember that? And he's here to join us after Superstorm Sandy. Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycles in scenic downtown Hempstead actually goes out of his way to give us a better intro for this show. And here he is on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. Check it out. Now, speaking of drinking.
Yes.
And speaking of falling down.
Yes.
And speaking of floodwaters rising.
Yes.
And speaking of your motorcycle, which
yes.
None of these should all mix.
No.
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 We have in the studio.
But they did mix.
They did.
Yes.
That's right.
And we have our Don Consigliere of the motorcycle world, Gerard from Rolling Thunder Cycles in scenic downtown Hempstead, with us in the studio. Thank you, Gerard.
Well, thank you for inviting me, you know.
Always a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you for being here with us on Motormouth Radio. You always make the show that much better.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I'd like to interject something. That's like Ray, you want to say at the beginning of the show, is that you guys have really brought this up to a whole new level. You know, if you review what I have done, because unfortunately I don't always get to listen to the show live, so a lot of times I go to motormouthradio.com and I listen to the last show or past shows, and that's like, and anybody can do that at motormouthradio.com. You just click on listen to our old shows, you know.
How much do we pay him per plug?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you have had on George Barris. As a matter of fact, he's a regular. Every time he's in New York, he comes and visits you guys, all right? So that's one thing, the king of custom, you know. Kevin McKay, Corvette
right.
Repair, right?
That's
top,
right.
Top of that stuff, and do repair work. You know, you had a complete show on Cooley's anemia, which I found to be completely
right. That was
interesting.
A Long Island drag racing.
Yes.
And all have to, and how that ties into cars and, you know, the whole car community.
Right.
Lou from American Racing Headers was on. He
yes.
builds his own headers. He
yes.
tests them on dynos and stuff, you know.
Right.
Bobby Brown.
Robert
Chevrolet.
Guy
was racing with the best of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. So what was the thought process that went through your heads when you asked me to come on the show?
That's well, you know, when you say we bring it up to a new level, where we are, we can only go up.
Yes. So you totally fit within that group of
those businessmen.
Yes, that great individual.
It's an undescribable group is what you're telling me.
Yeah, undescribable is a good term. But yeah, well, that's the thing. See, we embrace the eclecticness of our friends. Yes. And our friends range everywhere from, like you mentioned, all those guys plus others.
Right. And you are the cornerstone of the motorcycle industry.
I need that mic. Will you bring it up, please? I can't believe that was all the way back from November in 2012. It seems like it was just recent.
And the amazing thing is that Gerard hit on a lot of people that are going to be in this show today.
He didn't know. It was a rolling promo, and he didn't know it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, jumping ahead to June of 2012, we'll be hearing from a few of those guys in the hour later that you were mentioning that Gerard talked about. But first, let's kick off the show with some drag racing news from Raceway Park in Englishtown, New Jersey, and our own Grand Poobah, Frank, from Centurion Cruisers. He was on the phone delivering the goods, and here's how it sounded.
All righty, right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. It sounds like this.
I'm going to go back to the phones and back to what Ray calls the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, brothers, it's Frank. How are you?
Hey, Frank. The Grand Poobah. How are you?
How you doing, guys? How's it going here?
Doing well. What's going on? Where are you?
Right now, Englishtown. We've got the...
Oh, the Super Nationals.
Yeah, we're just between breaks to clean up the track.
Excellent.
Yes.
And of course. And I got to answer me something. You know, I was Super Nationals. I was actually thinking about going this weekend to the Super Nats. And then I saw it sponsored by Toyota.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something intrinsically wrong with that in my mind. I'm sorry.
You're absolutely right. But it's a great day. The weather's fantastic. And, a lot of good drivers advance into the next round. Cass is in. John Force is in.
Yeah. What kind of numbers of the fuel is running this weekend, Frank?
What's that?
What kind of numbers are the top fuel guys running this weekend?
Well, they're actually going to come up now, as you can hear in the background, so we're going to lose you in about 2 seconds.
Is everybody running faster? Because the weather is nice. It's kind of dry. It's not too hot and humid.
Yeah, well, Caps ran the fastest.
Yeah. Nice.
That's what you need.
Let me go. Here come the cars. Thank you, guys.
All right, Frank.
I'll see you next week.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Frank.
Wow.
Watch some nitrous droplets.
Take care, my brother.
Now, that's a sign-off.
Wow, yeah. All righty. I think Joe D was in that crowd, wasn't he?
He was in with us.
Yeah. He was in the studio with us that day.
And there he is in the back now. Look, I think he's...
he's waiting for the bartender, I think.
He ordered up the tech trio of shots over there.
They're all sitting there talking tech and tech trio.
the tequila tech trio, I think it was.
So if you don't know by now, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're down here at Party Central. And we are playing the best bits of 2012 and 2013 for your Mother's Day enjoyment for all you mothers out there. So let's go back to February of 2013. We were talking to Steve Reyes. He was on the phone. And let's put it this way. There's a good chance that all that racing can lead to, it can lead to some kind of destruction. And for a good many years, this photographer, Steve Reyes, was there capturing it all on film. And here he is explaining some of the hazards of standing out there while racing was going on all around him. Here you're going to check it out, right on the Motormouth Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Generally, these guys would drive around you. They would drive around you, you know, if they were pretty attentive. And I knew their driving technique. Yeah. If it was some guy that just closed his eyes when he mashed the throttle, you're deep doo-doo.
Yeah, definitely.
That's how Ray drives every day to work.
Mm. I'll tell you what. What'll get you are the parts. It's not so much the race cars. It's the parts, because the cars, when they blow up, they slow down. They don't really have the momentum going for them. But those parts, they're still traveling along pretty good, especially if you're at the finish line.
Right.
And you better have a catcher's mitt or some armor on, because it can get real dicey down there. I've had photographers with me that have gotten hurt, and I'm standing there, and I'm 6'5", and, you know, I'm a little biscuit over about 280 or something at the time, and it's like there's these parts zinging around, and they're not hitting me, but they're hitting my little scrawny buddies on either side. are taking the shrapnel, and I feel bad, but hey, you know, you take your chances when you're at the 1320 there, and and, you know, somebody comes through and just blows everything all over the place.
Even a piece of a tire at that, you know, at that velocity is deathly.
But did you ever get clipped by anything? Anything warm?
I got hit in the side once with part of a clutch from a top fuel car, front motor top fuel car. I wanted to make sure the driver was okay because it blew the bell housing right out of the cowl. And it could have took his feet off. And fortunately, it just went straight up. But part of the clutch hit me in the jacket, in my jacket pocket, and I spun around and put a pretty good bruise in my side. And then I got hit in the foot with part of a clutch. Clutches are nasty. They don't get you.
And then you go home, you see like you have a Schaefer, logo on your side, and you're like, oh boy, that's gonna
hurt.
That was a hell of a story from Steve Reyes.
I tell you,
he couldn't be here today. But I tell you something. I think that the phone light was ringing. I think that was Howie calling because his lawnmower is here. I see it in the back.
Howie's mom is here too.
I think she brought the lawnmower. Yes. Well, we can.
This is Big Man. That's right.
Right. Well, we continue on with that theme. Back from October in 2012.
What happened?
Well, since drag racing is such a highly stressful sport, we bring in Dina Parisi, owner of Parisi Racing, located right here on Long Island. And she's going to explain some of the behind-the-scenes antics that go on between the teams to burn off some steam. We just happened to have Ed Muir from the Cruise to the Show in the studio with us that day to start it off. There's Ed in the back, and here's the bit.
I got to ask you something about little Eddie sitting in the car.
What?
Because I introduced him to Andrew as Mr. Parisi.
Yeah.
So a couple hours later, I said, Teddy, come on, let's get in the golf cart and go say hello to all the vendors. And we're in the golf cart saying hello to the vendors, and we pull up to Hellbent Racing spot. And there's Andrew talking to the guys at Hellbent. And all of a sudden, my son looks at him and goes, hey, Andy.
All right.
So something tells me somebody got him on the side and put him up to that.
Oh, that's so
now who would that someone be?
That's very funny. I'm going to say probably Harold from Hellbent.
Okay.
Harold happens to be a friend of ours, so I'm going to say probably Harold. I'm going to say probably him, yes. it's a never-ending battle between all of us. Everybody's always trying to play practical jokes on somebody else. Racing is crazy. We had one guy that woke up in the morning and his fire suit was on a blow-up doll sitting in his car. We duct taped a blow-up doll to the ladder on the back of a guy's motorhome. He didn't notice it for hours.
Oh, wow.
It was fantastic. We do stuff like that all the time. So, there's always quite a bit of practical joke. Of course we can't do it in a forum like that because, we have to do it where people are really not going to notice it, where the public are really going to notice things like that. But we do have a good time, and there's always a lot of camaraderie, which is great.
That's fantastic.
That was a good story.
It's amazing how you got to blow off some steam every once in a while. I'm sure these guys are under such pressure to get that car to run through the traps and to optimize their times and everything like that, that they need to.
Sure.
They need a blow. How many teams? Of course. I'm sure a blow-up doll is probably de rigueur. It's right in the toolbox. It's folded up really.
I want to know where she got so many blow-up dolls from. Yeah, they have like a case of them in the back. I see
I'm gonna
Dina.
Ask her. She's right back there.
I know. We're going to have to grab her later and find out.
This is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're not answering the phones today, so please just sit back and listen while Mom is Mom's making dinner. Why is Mom making dinner? Anyway.
Making reservations.
Smart ones are. Let's go back to May 3rd, 2012. We had a very special show that day. Mm-hmm. Ray was integral in getting Trooper Frank Bandiero here in the studio with us. And just in case that partying that Dina was talking about got out of hand or there's an issue on the road, we here at Motormouth Radio are prepared with Trooper Frank. And here he is back last May explaining what to do and what not to do during a traffic stop. And this is a take notes, gang, right here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. It sounded like this.
We were speaking before we started about people just passing us when we're in a marked patrol car.
Yeah.
It's a little bit strange when you're in the left lane.
Right.
And, you know, people slow down when they see you. But there are some people that pass you like you're standing still.
Wow.
That is amazing.
And your first reaction is...
What?
What the...
What
the...
What? Yes. It's so easy. It's like, wow. It's like, throw it to me on a silver platter. You have it right there.
Yeah.
Now, typically, how those people react? Are they surprised? Are they feign surprise?
Yes.
Really?
Very surprised.
Oh, my boy.
Everybody's surprised to see us. But they are usually surprised. I didn't see you.
Right. Yeah, obviously.
Of course, if you didn't see me, that's why you passed
me. You were going too fast. You look at your phone.
always surprised to see us. Like, we're, you know, we hide in bushes, and then all of a sudden we're standing next to your window.
Right.
That's the way I always read it.
Yeah.
Frank, really, truly, if someone does get pulled over, what really is the best thing for them to do?
That is a great question.
We talked about this on the phone.
Yeah.
We pull over people in their 40s, 50s, and so on, and figure they've been driving for 30s plus years.
Right.
We pull them over, and they lose their minds.
I believe
they do not know what to do. The first thing is put your blinker on, pull to a safe place on the shoulder.
Right.
As far right of the roadway in the shoulder as you can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, make the trooper, the police officer, feel comfortable so he's not standing in traffic.
Did you ever have anyone drive off into the trees? Like, really far right?
Sure. You know, drunks get pulled over every day. So,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
They don't always... sometimes they just stop as soon as they see the lights.
Right,
they stop right in the lane.
Oh, my gosh.
But going back to what you should do, basics, pull to a safe spot, usually as far to the right as you can.
Right.
Put your hands on the steering wheel.
Great idea.
And wait for instructions. We get, walk up to the car, the guy's furiously reaching in the bag for something.
Oh.
Yeah, that's
this is like a 45-year-old man. And you're waiting, and you say, stop. Hands on the wheel. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my wallet is in the bag. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Why do you keep your wallet in a bag?
Whatever. You know, like I said, it's not a 19-year-old kid.
Right.
It's a fully grown man saying this to you.
But at that point, you have to have a fear for your life, because you don't know if he's pulling out a pipe bomb, a 45. You know,
right.
God knows what he has in that bag.
The traffic stop is one of the most dangerous parts of police work. You don't know who you're pulling over, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know why you're pulling over. A lot of times they tell us, I have no idea. Do you know why I pulled you over? I have no idea. You know what? At least my advice was, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you were speeding, I'm late for work, I'm sorry, I realized I was going too fast before I noticed the lights, I apologize. Or, you know, I think honesty, at least with me, is the best policy to say,
right.
I have no idea the reason you pulled me over and you were doing 90 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's just...
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And if you don't know you're doing 90 miles an hour, there's an issue that's bigger than just a traffic stop. It's pretty amazing, huh?
It's great. And I see we do have a good trooper contingent in the back of the room today.
Yeah, they're all standing around like we're the Blues Brothers.
I notice like some of our other listeners are standing on the other side of the room, though. They're not standing near them. I don't know why.
It's because they're ordering orange whips.
They're nice guys. Come on, we hang out with them. Well, anyway, Chris, all right. So far on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, we've covered things like driving race cars, braking race cars, blowing off steam if the pressure of racing cars is too intense.
Exactly.
And who will come down on you if blowing off steam from those race cars gets a little out of hand. Coming up next?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. What do we have here? Let me just turn the page here. Let's see. After the break on the Extravaganza, we're going to be hearing from Bobby Brown from Robert Chevrolet on some highlights of his racing career. New York State Assemblyman Michael Dendecker and the fondness for his 62 Valiant.
Uh-huh.
You like that one, I'm sure.
I did.
The automotive archaeologist Ryan Brewitt and how, or is it Brut?
Brut.
Brut.
Okay. We went through this last time.
I know.
And how come you put three T's in the copy? Were you drunk when you wrote this? Sorry, Ryan.
And how he was approached to write for Hot Rod Magazine.
Great story.
So that alone is making us envious.
Plus, who else?
The Motor Mouth Radio Jinx and your new best friend.
Oh, yeah.
Our caller, Bill.
I noticed he didn't make it here today.
Yeah, he didn't.
I'll find him later.
Yeah, because you have a bone to pick with him. Right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. keep it where you got it. We got a lot more coming up. The best bits of 2012 and 2013. That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Keep it where you got it.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said more than that thing.
WHBC Garden City, New York, the voice of Nassau Community College.
Listen. Join WHBC's daily news wrap-up, weekdays at 4:30 p.m., bringing you a complete report of the day's news, home and abroad, as well as sports, weather, and many other informative features.
We're Long Island's FM alternative.
Let the Motormouths help you with all your car questions at 516-572-7440.
All righty. We're keeping those phones at bay.
Yeah, although they're ringing off the hook. This would be a good day to do a show.
It would have been.
Yeah.
It would have been a good day to give advice.
Yeah.
But we're not.
No.
It's the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. The best bits of 2012 and 2013. For your listening pleasure, your laughing and scratching pleasure, something to put a smile to your ear, and I know it's definitely putting a smile to ours. It is awesome. And the funny thing is that the shows, the bits have changed in the last couple of years. They went from when we were completely psychotic and insane. Now they've kind of corralled themselves down to just really, really good stories.
What are you saying? We've matured and gotten better guests?
No, I'm saying it's dumb luck.
Oh, all right. Well, it's one or the other. I didn't know which one you were going for.
No, I think it has been because we have been getting better guests, and that's compliments of the fantastic production company
the
that
producer.
Stands behind us.
We got to send them a check, by the way.
Yeah, we should.
They've been shaking the trees.
So what do we got coming up, right?
Anyway, we go back to November of 2012 for this one, and through our dearly departed friend Frank Dominiani, I was able to become friends with Bobby Brown from Robert Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
Another story for another time, but anyway, it's amazing how we've established race drivers right in our own backyard. Many like Bobby himself. So back in November, we sat down with Bob and we wanted to discuss his continuing racing career because we didn't know that he had such an ongoing presence in the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here's what he had to say about other drivers he's raced with. We were surprised.
We were very surprised. Check it out.
Did you have occasion to speak with the guys who were in the 1, 2, and 3 spots? Were they amenable to conversation, or are they pretty
absolutely
much
back in the day? Oh, sure, absolutely. Jackie Stewart, when he came over to race for Carl Haas in the Lola 260, I think it was, oddball car, and it took somebody of Stewart's ability to drive the thing. He was just like you and I talking now. Bruce McLaren was a wonderful guy. One of the guys that I befriended was Denny Holm, who was a wonderful guy and very, very open as far as willing to help you and give you advice, whether it be driving or setting the car up. So back in the day, you could talk to guys. Mario Andretti happened to drive a car for Commander, I think, one or two times out in California. I got to know him a bit, and very open. Mario is my hero. I love him. Him and Gurney are both my heroes. And it was very easy to talk to these people in those days.
How did you get the impression that they were sweating a little bit knowing you were behind them?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
not really, because they knew what they had. And let's face it, I was a darn good driver, but I don't think I was a driver of Jackie Stewart or Dan Gurney or Mario Andretti's ability by any means.
It's hard to fight the factory effort. I mean, let's face it, the resources are almost unlimited. But then again, you kind of know who's behind you, and you always have your half an eyeball out because, the guys that are in third or fourth are always fighting, seems like, a little bit harder.
Always.
You know?
Yeah.
So you got to be cognizant of who's back there, because they'll come back and eat your lunch.
Especially when they're always there. You know, all you see are armpits and elbows, and that's all you see, and they're always there.
Yeah. White knuckles.
You definitely have to respect them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
A lot of white knuckles. Oh, yeah.
That was a great bit.
Mm-hmm. A lot of white knuckles going on here, too.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's holding on to their drinks.
That's because the troopers are mingling. You didn't notice that? They've been working their way through the crowd.
More ice, please.
Yeah.
Well, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. the best bits of 2012-2013 for your listening pleasure. Put a smile to your ear here. That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Let's keep the bits going. On November 29th, we had the dubious honor, thanks to Ray, to get Assemblyman Michael Dendecker of the 34th District of Queens. I think that's Jackson Heights.
That's right.
And on top of addressing the motorcycle parking problems in those boroughs, which brought that Assemblyman here, he brought him, came right into the studio, too.
He did. He came and visited us on a Thursday.
And we also found out how he had a fondness for all types of cars, along and also a particular 62 Plymouth Valiant that he liked. Yeah, Ray dug this one,
who
too.
Who would have ever guessed it?
Yeah, and some of the cars really were amazing. But let's check it out on How Small a World It Is with Assemblyman Michael Dendecker of Queens. It's right here in the Motormouth Radio Studios on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Here it is. Getting back to earlier in the program, you are a motorhead.
Yes. I went to school at the University of Farmingdale, SUNY, mm-hmm. and I majored in automotive technology.
Nice.
And I love cars. I've had thousands of, well, I shouldn't say thousands, hundreds of cars.
What was your favorite car from the
66 Chevelle.
That was, I love it when the answer is right.
66 Chevelle with a 350-354 bolt main.
Excellent.
Wow.
Old LT1 engine.
Yes. Yeah, the car got stolen right in front of my house.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And then the most recent nice car that I had was a 62 Plymouth Valiant convertible.
Wow.
With a push button automatic.
Yeah, sure.
Slant six.
Nice.
Yeah, loved it. It was a powder blue.
Whoa.
With a white convertible top.
That's a very controversial vehicle.
And a white interior.
Yeah. It was actually a two tone. It was white and blue.
Yeah,
it was a white with a blue trim. They did so much nice detail work back in the day.
Tritone interiors, you know, triple.
Sure.
That was beautiful. And Chrysler really led the charge with that. It was phenomenal.
I was Mopar crazy for quite a while when I was younger.
What was the high school ride?
Yeah.
The 66 Chevelle.
That was
Well, before that, I had a 73 Pontiac Le Mans sports coupe.
Nice.
And then I also had a 73 Volkswagen Squareback.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you go in the full game.
You had the gamut.
Yeah.
So what happened to the Valiant, the convertible?
I sold that actually maybe a year or 6 months after I got elected to the assembly, and it was because I really couldn't afford to keep it anymore. I people make fun of us being politicians and everything, but mm-hmm. it doesn't pay as well as some of the other jobs that I had. I had a job. I was with the New York City Department of Sanitation for 10 or 11 years. That's a good job. It was a very good paying job. I was very mm-hmm. pleased with it. Mm-hmm. And then I left and I took a position with the New York City Council, and I was doing very well there too. Mm-hmm. And then when I took this position, because the Valiant was in its own garage,
yeah.
so there was rent on the second garage.
Sure.
And I brought the car up to Albany and I left it in my house that I have in Albany in the garage there, but it wasn't being driven enough. Now mm-hmm. it was in the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about the tires drying out, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I thought, this is not fair to this car. It was an everyday driver, but a really good looking everyday driver.
Mm-hmm.
It had been totally restored. Actually, a funny story, because we were just talking about this before the break. The guy that I dormed with at Farmingdale University owns a gas station out here on Long Island in East Meadow. We were talking about
okay.
it
mm-hmm.
On Front Street.
Okay, right.
I buy this car, the 62 Plymouth Valiant, or I'm going to buy it. And I call him up and I said, I'm going to buy this Valiant and everything. He goes, really? He goes, Valiant? He goes, what color is it? I go, blue with a white top. He goes, get out of here. He goes, I rebuilt an engine on a powder blue 62 Plymouth Valiant. I did the whole thing. It was in mint condition. It was, the guy put a lot of money into it. I wonder if it's the same car.
Right.
I buy the car, and lo and behold, we go through it, and the guy gives us a bag full of receipts, and there are the receipts from his gas station.
Oh, no
he
way.
Rebuilt the engine on the car that I bought. I mean, it's
nice.
A small world.
Wow.
Wow, it is amazing, huh? Talk about a small world.
Absolutely. That's the way things go around here. We've heard that time and time again, Chris.
Mm-hmm. That you end up finding a car that someone else had years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Can anybody get off on this island?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. Well, anyway.
Moving right along.
You know, we never get tired of talking to individuals that spend their time hunting down old cars in barns, in garages, or just sitting around in people's yards. So back in February of this year, we sat with the automotive archaeologist, Ryan Brutt.
Brutt.
Right, Ryan Brutt, and we talked about how he was offered an opportunity from the Hot Rod editor, David Freiberger, which is a guy that I've had some correspondence with,
mm-hmm.
and here's how it sounded. How did you put together the gig to write, to get this column in Hot Rod magazine? Because that's fantastic.
Well, Freiberger and I have known each other for a few years. He almost killed me once on a golf cart during Power Tour, so we've always had this funky relationship.
Next time you talk to him, tell him the guys from Motormouth Radio say hi, because I send them emails all the time. They don't even reply to me. I think it's like that East Coast, West Coast thing.
I don't know. Hell, he doesn't reply to me most of the time.
Yeah.
I write for the magazine.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay. I figured it was just East Coast, West Coast, and I figured, okay, you know. But I mean, I don't think so. I'm a supporter. You know, I love these guys. I love what they do. And
he's just that non-personal with everybody.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's never a dull moment. Like, just one day, me and him emailed back and forth for a few years, and then this one day he goes, hey, Ryan, what's going on? Hey, you want to write for Hot Rod? Really? And that was on Facebook. He sent me that on Facebook.
Well, that's...
And I'm like, really? You sent this to me on Facebook. Hey, it's Freiberger. How's it going? You want to work for Hot Rod? I'm like, let me think about that for, a second.
Yeah, Ryan, it sounds like you do business more the way we do. We're a little more traditional in the way we do things, and that's actually not a traditional... Well, maybe it is becoming a traditional method.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's just we're not grasping a hold of it.
Yeah, I was...
Pretty amazing what social media is doing and how people are advancing their careers because of it.
Oh, yeah.
So now we hear Motormouth Radio will occasionally admit to having no luck with certain automotive projects. But one of our favorite callers, Bill, who is now a fan of yours, Ray.
Oh, yeah.
Actually has his own theories on what kind of power we really do possess here at Motormouth Radio. And I'll tell you one thing, it's certainly a shocker. So let's check it out here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, the best bits of 2012 and 2013. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Yeah, hi. I called last week. We were talking about replacing brake lines.
Yes, Bill. How are you?
Okay, well, there's a little more to the story. I'd like to go into what's known as the Motormouth Radio Jinx.
Oh, boy. Now, wait a minute. Let's get this straight here. When we last spoke to you, you called about some sort of four-door Chevrolet that had a bad rear brake line.
That is correct.
And you wanted to put a compression fitting on it.
That's a no-no.
And we said bah to that.
Okay. Actually, it'd be two compression fittings.
It gets a little better. But
okay.
Let's start with the jinx. The next day, I get my van with 185,000 miles.
Yes.
Down in Freeport, step on the pedal, to the floor.
Oh, no.
Okay, the line blew out.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Because I called you the day before to ask about a Malibu.
Of course.
Of course you did.
I was able to throw fluid in there and drive on the other half of the system and get it home.
Well, to your credit, Bill, you had also mentioned on Thursday. See, this goes deeper than that. It may not be the Motormouth Radio jinx.
No, I think Bill is wise beyond his years.
Well, no.
No, I think Bill's onto the secret.
Bill foreshadowed the whole dilemma. Because if you go back, roll the tape, Bill said, it's not like on my van where you have these large expanses where you can easily change a line.
Right.
Bill, you did it to yourself.
You put
the malorca on yourself.
You did put the kibosh on yourself. Bill.
Luckily, the line on the van was a short line. Oddly, it was located high up. Went from the proportioning valve to the left front.
It was a front line that went.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you had no stopping power.
Right. Well, the story gets a little deeper.
Okay.
Somebody called me up, wanted to come down and look at the car. The guy calls up, my car just blew up. I need a car real bad.
Well, sounds like one of our friends.
I said, do you work on cars? Oh, no problem. I'm just going to come down with rubber hose and some clamps.
Yeah, and he's going to clamp it around his arm, take the needle out, and spike up.
I basically told him, this is not for you.
No.
Yeah, no.
Okay, well, somebody shows up. The guy turned every knob, cranked every window. Yeah, I want to buy it. I'm going to do the work. Gives me a deposit.
Okay.
On Friday.
Okay.
Come back the next day. The guy shows up with the money to pick up the car.
Okay, I'm liking the story so far. What's up?
What could possibly go wrong?
A bus jumped the curb and creamed the car.
You went and called us.
You're pretty close.
Ooh.
Friday night, I guess some drunk SOBs ran over the car and stomped the roof.
Oh, no.
Man.
Okay, so we were there with fists and hammering the roof and got about 60, 70% of the roof back up, that he wouldn't take it.
You see, that's the motor mouth jinx.
Right. That's where you jinx
it. Yeah, it wasn't a brake line. That's it right there. Yeah, time and time again, Chris, it's the callers who perpetrate the jinxes.
We've been called many things, but that was the first time we were called the Motormouth Radio Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. So what's coming on in the next half an hour, Ray?
Well, I'll tell you what, we're halfway done. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from our friend Pilot Paul and how he's been catching up on the old Motormouth Radio episodes.
Right.
Our caller Christian from Mach Modified and how he would drive his boss crazy in one of the shops he worked.
Yeah.
Again, how I got you to lose control of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm dying to hear. And speaking of losing control, what question does Pat Seppi from Dial Transmission get asked countless times during the day?
Mm-hmm.
We can't get through a mother's extravaganza without Pat losing control.
Just like you just did.
When we return.
Right here on the Motormouth Radio. Mother's Day extravaganza.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
This is Glenn DeMiltz. Join me every Tuesday and Saturday afternoon at 5 for 2 big hours of music and memories with the chairman of the board. It's Frank Sinatra on Sinatra Serenade. Each week, we'll take you on a musical journey through the career of this entertainment icon. It's all about old Blue Eyes. So listen to Sinatra Serenade on WHPC 90.3, the radio voice of Nassau Community College.
Streaming online at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
Alrighty, we're down here in Motormouth Radio Party Central, where we're celebrating Mother's Day with the best bits of 2012 and 2013 on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. Ray Guarino behind the shop bench. He decorated it very nicely.
Yeah, well, you know, the kids help me because I'm a little under the weather these days. I can't move around quite as I'd like to.
That's true.
So all the kids, there they are in the back. How you doing, guys? Thanks for decorating this place. It looks nice. Mm-hmm, like they decorated my kitchen this morning. They did a great job. Yeah.
So what's coming up now?
We go back to October of 2012, and since we offered the benefit of posting past shows on motormouthradio.com on the download page, this way listeners can catch up on what we've been doing when they haven't been doing it.
Right.
You would think nobody would have the courage to start from the bottom of that page and work their way up.
Mm-hmm.
But some of our bunch actually have done just that.
Yes.
And here's Pilot Paul to take us back to what Motormouth Radio was doing just a few years ago, Chris.
All righty. Here it is on the extravaganza. That's not it.
No, that's not. It's sports talk.
Let's find
those guys are on the other
fun.
Side.
Go to what Ray calls the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
June 10th, 2010 is what I'm up to.
All right. Yes. Now, I don't know. You know, this is, of course,
thank you, Paul.
Pilot Paul. But, Chris, were you referring to Pilot Paul or Pirate Paul?
No, Pilot Paul.
Okay, because Pirate Paul is also behind.
Oh, he's behind as well?
Yes, he is.
Oh, no, I was thinking of Paul who's on the phone now.
Right, okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't ask for clarification because I figured neither one of them would hear it for another year and a half.
So how was Motormouth Radio on June 6th?
June 10th.
June 10th?
2010.
Of 2010.
What were we up to?
What did we talk about?
It was actually a day like today. It was a Thursday. You guys weren't talking about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And,
sounds right.
You know, so... it was funny that, like, the episode or two before, Ray was talking about me coming to you, talking about changing the engine in my Jeep.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a while ago.
Yeah.
And how I came to the realization of having somebody else do it.
Yeah.
You know, it was like $400 for the engine, $400 to install it.
What did you end up doing with the Jeep, Paul? Just to refresh us all.
Yes. From 2 years ago.
It's still sitting exactly where it was.
I figured.
I've completely switched decisions that I'm not putting a new engine
right.
in it. I'm just going to put larger and larger bearings on the number 6 connecting rod until the knock goes away.
Okay. Good enough.
And then the next step is fertilizer all in the back, and you're going to make a nice planter out of it.
Yeah.
See, that's what's great about listening to the show so far back. You get to relive your life. If you're part of our show, like a lot of our listeners are, you get to relive it.
Exactly.
It's like looking through a photo album.
And see how, like, the way you think about things have changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I was originally going to just, you know, like you said, just swap it out. But I'm like, no, why would I go through all that effort?
You were gangbusters, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. So now that you've figured out what to do with the Jeep, come over and fix my Thunderbird program for me, damn it, because I'm having trouble.
Oh, yeah.
That's the last time we're going to hear from Paul.
Yeah, I know. I'll give him another year and a half. And, you know, Paul's making low-level stripes over the restaurant here. I hear him outside in his plane.
Oh, he's touching down on the roof or something?
No, he's just strafing us. I think he's dropping, like, little incendiary phosphorus bombs on the roof, hoping they'll get through to us at the table here.
If you're just joining us, this is the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. We're very proud of this. We do this. We compile the best bits of 2012, 2013. We spit them back at you on Mother's Day. And believe me,
Tell me.
It wouldn't be a January without a visit from Dial Transmission's very own Pat Seppi. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be memorable unless Pat gets twisted about something along the way.
Of course.
Well, here he is in pure Pat Seppi form dealing with that age-old question concerning transmission fluid. You know it, I know it, Ray knows it, and now you're going to know it. Right here on the Motormouth Radio Extravaganza. And I'm sure that we've probably played this three other times at three other Mother's Day shows.
I think we have. It's been on a promo, too, probably.
Right? But this one tops them all. Here it is.
Okay, one question. You're probably going to ask this a million times. And you know, you always hear everybody with their opinion. You got an old car that's like 10 years old.
Don't do it. Don't say it. No, I'm just kidding. I know what you're going
to
say.
And I always say to them, what could new fluid... I mean, is it really? I mean, no, you know, yeah, whatever's holding all the junk inside that's holding the tranny together is going to fall out.
You ever hear of the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot?
Yeah,
this is such urban legend, I swear.
Yeah, I'm 51 years old. I think I've been hearing that myth since I was 17.
I don't know where it started, but it probably started like an accountant started it because he had a problem with his old Slim Jim, but it doesn't make any sense. I mean, fluid doesn't hold metal components together. You know how many transmission services we do a year?
Yeah.
A lot. I don't even know, man, but it's a lot. Yeah. And I honestly can't tell you the last time we did a service and the customer came back. I didn't want to answer this anymore. A customer came back and said, well, now we introduced new transmission fluid. You know, the transmission went bad. Maybe in like the 60s and the 50s when fluid varnished a lot, maybe that was a problem. But it's not even an issue. It's not even worth talking about.
All right.
How many times, Pat, answer?
15, something like that.
And now, the whole urban legend is that people say that the fluid is holding the transmission together.
Correct.
Once urban legends spread, it's like playing post office. Everybody adds their own little bent to it. And before you know it, you have some really concocted story that's just, you know, pretty unbelievable.
Let's go to the phones. The fun. How you on with the Motormouths?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, Mark. How are you, brother?
What's happening, man?
How you doing?
Hey, listen, I heard the last caller, and I don't want to get Pat upset. At you guys, actually. I recall a show, one of you guys, I'm not sure if it was either one of you or some caller called in, and they said they changed the tranny fluid, and it didn't run right, you know, slipping and all this stuff, and they drained the new stuff out and put the old stuff back, and it worked.
We had talked about that. Chris, you mentioned that.
I actually did, Mark.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid to tell Pat.
Perpetrator of the...
Yeah, it was me. I actually had it was a Lincoln. It was a 84 Lincoln Town Car, and I dumped the fluid out, put the new fluid in, and I tried to get on the parkway with it, and it would drop out of third gear and hang in second. So I brought the car back, I dumped the new fluid out, I put the old fluid that I saved back in the transmission, and I took off with it, and it would go into third, and everything was fine. Then I sold the car. Because I didn't really want to see the end of that story.
Hence the urban legend started propagated and started to grow.
Yeah, once again, so if anyone helped that urban legend along, Mark, and thank you for bringing that up. I keep thinking no one listens to this show.
Surprise. And what's even more surprising, I remembered it.
Yeah,
it's, I remember too, actually. I think I was wearing the same shirt. I bet you checked the picture of the website. I think it was the same shirt.
I'm surprised you didn't get a Dexron bath from Pat at that moment.
Right? And also, that bit featured one of two of our favorite callers, Cliff and also Mark from Levittown.
So absolutely, yeah.
Throw them in.
Those were bits within a bit.
That certainly was. Those were two callers within a bit. So first for the Motormouth Radio Extravaganza right here. So what else is coming up?
Moving right along, back from March of this year, Like Pat Seppi, being the boss of an operation like his has got to be an aggravating problem one after another.
Oh, yeah.
In that instance. Here's one of our favorite callers, Christian from Mach Modified, explaining how he enjoyed being part of the problem at his old job.
Yeah, I'm still rewiring Harleys here, and I go from a 2013 wiring harness in like a Suzuki, and now I got a 76 Super Glide in here, I got to put a harness in, and I go to the schematics, and it's like, yeah. You know, you're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot less in that Harley schematic.
Yeah, exactly.
Suzuki. Talk about shifting
tubes. A couple tubes in there.
Yeah, right. Tubes. Yeah. Right, transistors.
Yeah. Rock.
Yeah, transformer.
A couple AM crystals.
Yeah. SWR meter.
Yeah. that might make it go faster.
You never know.
Chris, you are truly a Renaissance man. That is very funny.
Hey, I can't. You know what? I can't wait to put the magneto in my hot rod because I'm going to drive through the neighborhood and I hope I'll knock out everybody's internet.
You know,
I can't wait.
I used to do that with just a hot ignition with solid core wires. I'd pull in, my mother would be like, "God, shut that car off! I can't see TV."
Yeah, you'd be like, "Buck, buck, 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 buck."
I used to work in a bike shop in Belmore years ago. I'm not going to mention the name, and he had a big Miller welder, a huge unit, and when I weld aluminum, you know, you crank it up in the AC current and you would weld aluminum at like maybe 400 amps plus.
Yeah.
Well, it had I have a foot pedal, it's a TIG welder. And it was funny because I would hit the welder was in the back of the shop next to the phone system or whatever. And anytime that you mashed the pedal, all the phones would ring in the shop.
Yep, he's welding again.
Oh, no, I used to mess with my boss there, you know, and I would make, because he was always picking that phone up. So I'd be like, yeah. And then you go run over to answer the phone and he'd be like, hello, hello.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Just the little things I would do just to, you know, make my day go quicker.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what it's all about at work.
Well, the party's going on right here at Motormouth Radio Party Central, and we are not taking any calls, but let me set this one up, Ray. This one is going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I lose control.
That's always a lot of fun as far as I'm concerned.
I am totally cracking up here, completely on the floor, losing control. I'm going to set it up. After Superstorm Sandy, I found that my front steps had broken free of the house, and the whole six-step structure, landing railings and all, had floated down the street and rested upon a fence. That same time, you here was sharing some crazy idea on how you would survive the next hurricane if we had one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how I lost control of the show here on the Motormouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. Check it out.
I think these people were just either so displaced from regular life. Oh, let me tell you, there are people that are out of their minds right now. They are panicking. They're digging big holes in their foundations to put in bomb shelters. They are buying
the biggest generators
they can find. There's one guy I know. There's one guy I know that is so crazy. He's actually thinking about putting a natural gas generator on the front of his house.
Sounds like a smart guy.
Do you know? He plans, he's got it all planned out. He's going to dig a trench out of his porch. He knows where to mount it. He knows how he's going to vinyl side it. And he's going to do this whenever these catastrophes ever happen again. Do you know how crazy that is?
At least he has a porch.
I want to tell you something about vinyl siding. I've noticed vinyl siding on new houses is the worst. I don't know if it's the people putting it up or the product just sucks, but I've seen more siding missing in my neighborhood. Now, my house was sided in 1976 with 8-inch tall Alcoa, like 20,000 thick aluminum siding. I haven't lost as much as a coping piece, but all these houses with the new siding, gone. What is it? I have an issue with siding, as a matter of fact. I'm glad you brought that up, Chris.
Oh, you didn't hear anything I said?
I didn't hear what
Listen
you
to
said.
The replay. You'll catch it. You'll understand later.
Right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's good to see you finally get up off the floor.
Completely lost control of the show. When you told me at least I have a porch.
Yep.
That was it. Drop to the ground, hysterical. On
Play with me about siding, will you? Well, anyway, Chris, listen, we got to take another break.
Yes.
And when we return, we're going to find out what Kevin McKay from Corvette Repair has stumbled into lately,
mm-hmm.
how the king of customizers, George Barris, promotes us right on the air, and how we've come to the conclusion that I am really your grandmother. Plus, we find out how many listeners we've insulted from our caller, Tom.
Right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mouths help you out at 516-572-7440.
Bill Horan presents Secrets of Success, the show designed to help listeners uncover their hidden talents to maximize success. Listen to Secrets of Success Wednesdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7:30 a.m. on 90.3 FM WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouths a call at 516-572-7440.
All righty. No car questions today because it's the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza. The best bits of 2012, 2013. What's coming up next, Ray Ray?
Well, back from October of 2012, Chris, this bit comes. It's always an adventure when Kevin McKay from Corvette Repair comes in to talk with us about his latest classic acquisition. Whether it's across the country or across the globe, Kevin has a knack for finding these lost Corvettes. Here he is sharing some of the techniques that helped him acquire a race Corvette right from the brink of...
Well, we found another car recently, and it's the 1960 Briggs Cunningham Le Mans Corvette.
Oh, okay. That's iconic, all right.
And there's only three of them that went to Le Mans in 1960, and they all have been found except for one. And it fell in my lap this past summer. We got it, and it is a basket case.
Mm,
it's a mess. Sitting in a warehouse for 37 years.
Wow.
What do you consider a basket case?
Well, it's basically it's a shell, you know, with a chassis on it, and it's just beat to death. I mean, there's nothing in the interior of the car. Just two seats laying there and a steering wheel, just to move it around a little bit. But it's just could picture a car in a barn for 37 years. I mean, I did nothing with it, and it was an old, and they completely customized the whole entire body of the car.
Oh,
I mean, modified. You could see it's a Corvette, but you wouldn't know what year it was.
Oh, wow.
Holy smokes.
Jeez, what the hell did they do to it?
Yeah.
It's
sounds like a Barris car, right? Something exactly. George got his hands on.
Wow. You know something? It could have been a Barris car because, I mean, it was that far gone.
Wow.
You could not tell what year Corvette it was.
Oh, man.
Holy smokes.
That's shocking. How did you know what you were looking at to know that it was a Cunningham car?
Well, back in 1993, we were able to write to Le Mans, France, and we requested all the serial numbers of all the Corvettes that went over to Le Mans.
Okay.
Well, I never got a response. And then I found out, I had a customer who was a French guy came in, and I said, look, you know, how the French people, because, you know, let's face it, they think differently than American people.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, you have to write in French, because they don't want to speak, they can speak the English, but they don't want to respond.
Right.
So I went to a French school, and I got my letter converted over to French.
There you go.
Holy moly.
We faxed it over, and in good gesture, you send a bouquet of flowers, which we did.
Oh.
And then 6 months later, I got all the certain numbers of all the Corvettes that went over to Le Mans.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Just like that. And it was like the Holy Grail.
You have to ask questions to the right people. That's what it is.
And do the right thing.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin did the right thing. He couldn't make it today, but he did send three Corvettes. And that's what those things are in the corners back there.
And he sent you a bouquet of flowers,
and they're eating hors d'oeuvres.
You know, back in December, we were doing the show solo, you and I. And as I'm explaining the procedure I followed to replace a parking light bulb in the front of the truck, my longtime radio colleague, my compadre Cheech over here, decides to channel one of my family members. And here's how it sounded right here on the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day Extravaganza, the best bits of 2012-2013.
I had to pull the cornering light off the truck to replace the bulb. There was one bolt up on top that I was able to remove, but now the cornering light is just wobbling around in there.
Okay.
There was no way for it to actually pull straight out.
Was the hook of the fender prohibiting it from coming? No?
No, it was almost...
The deer you had impaled in the grill.
Well, the horn got in the way, but I pushed that aside. It felt like something was pinching it and holding it in the center of that
corner. It was your grandma who had you by the cheek like this. She said, you're such a cute boy, Christy.
So I go...
Oh, no.
What'd she say again?
She said, you're such a cute boy, Christy. Come over here. I should pinch your cheek. No, grandma, no. Get over there. Let your grandmother pinch your cheek, goddammit. Come on, she loves you. She'll give you a quarter.
She had your mustache.
I bet she did.
All right.
Oh, good old grandma.
We'll talk about this later.
We never really did talk about it later.
No, we never really did.
But I'll tell you what we did do.
What?
In September of 2012, we had the king of customizers, George Barris, here in the Motor Mouth Radio studios, and he had the audacity to ask, well, we had the audacity to ask the man to do a promo for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he had to say.
Let's check it out.
George, we're going to ask you a question. We want, if you can give us an ID. Now, you're on Motor Mouth Radio.
Uh-huh.
So if you could just say, you know, I listen to Motor Mouth Radio with Chris and Ray. If you could, we like to do it on the spur of the moment, right on the air. Uh-huh. So if
yeah, no sound studios and engineers. We just do it live.
Because you never get that feeling again if like, we do a show and then we move into a studio. So we always ask, like, right here and right now. If you can, that'd be great.
Ready?
Yeah. Go.
Ready?
Sure.
Uh-huh. Quiet, don't say that. We're on Motor Mouth Radio, so let's get it going. We got a lot of stories to tell you, so get yourself in the groove, because we're going to talk about four wheels and things like that, and it's very enjoyable to be on Motor Mouth Radio, because you can be on one tone and another tone. So don't forget, Motor Mouth Radio.
Awesome!
Excellent, thank you. Thank you.
I love it. That's beautiful. Thank you.
You had me wondering there for a second.
Yeah, I was like, where's he going?
All right.
That is cool. That is perfect. You're exactly right. That's what we love to do. We love to exchange the stories, and sometimes they're nice and quiet.
It could be a whisper, it could be yelling, you could be a driller talking. You still communicate.
Yeah.
There you go.
That was communication, Art.
It was totally communication from George Barris himself. All righty.
Let's wrap it up, Chris.
We are going to do this. We're going to wrap up the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza with one of the best calls we received all year.
Can't wait.
Know you were talking about this for weeks after it happened. It's from one of our favorite callers, Tom from Massapequa.
Yeah.
And it's an observation on the way we've been behaving lately.
Yep.
He even throws the Bronc in the mix.
How could you not?
And we're taking it back to December 30th, 2012. Here it is, the cleanup call of the Motor Mouth Radio Mother's Day extravaganza. Check it out.
Good morning. I'm wondering if you could do me a favor. I'm driving to Boston this morning, and at 1 o'clock, I'm going to be out of your range. Could you play something by Bruce Springsteen now?
No. Who is this?
All right. This is Tom from Massapequa.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Listen, I need to let you know.
Yes.
And this is important information.
All right.
You've sunk either to a new low or a new high. Based on your standards, it's probably a new high.
Thank you.
You've offended various people in my family today on many levels, and I'd like to explain.
Please do.
I thought you were going to thank him.
Number one, and this is least important compared to the other one, you're going to be amazed at what you've done.
Okay.
Number one, my son is 23, and he works at Ace. And I want you to know he's 23, and he's just as jaded as that old man about you people coming and annoy the hell out of him. That's number one.
Wait a minute. Which Ace does he work at, Tom?
I can't say it because he'll never talk to me
No,
again.
Because I'll go there to shop. I'll look for him.
Yeah, you don't look for him. Trust me. You want the old, really jaded guy. Okay?
That's me.
All right. Now, the other thing that my wife tends to listen to the show with me on some Sundays. When we're either having breakfast or driving. She happens to be with me today, and the guy, the Bronc, had to say something about his wife's hot air and the frost in the window.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, it took her 5 miles to freaking calm down, and you've already ruined the trip to Boston.
Wow. Well,
now you know how we feel about the Bronc.
I'm on the Throgneck Bridge, and she just stopped punching me.
Tom, we really have no control over the callers. Like, you may have offended five people now, and that's just the way it goes.
Well, let me just tell you, I hope I've offended five people, because it's my goal in life.
Excellent.
Okay?
Well,
and you should get the 7-second delay for that one phone line you have.
You're in with the right company, Tom. I tell you, you had way too much coffee today.
And we love it.
I need another cup.
I wonder if you ever got that cup.
Well, that looks like it, Ray. We've just completed the Motor Mouth Radio Extravaganza for 2012-2013.
Unbelievable. What a great year it was.
It was totally a great year, and I just want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
And hope you have a safe and sane one on the highway.
Eat a lot.
Eat a lot. And we're going to start
We've already started compiling bits for next year.
Right, for 2013, 2014, right. Already started. So for Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motormouth Radio. Thank you for everybody down here in Party Central that celebrated with us. And we'll be back on Thursday. See ya.
Bye-bye.